Today is the Feast of the Transfiguration. It's a fixed date feast, like Holy Name on January 1st, Holy Cross on September 14th, Christmas on, I think you know what date that is. It falls on the same date each year. It's a fixed date feast. The Feast of the Transfiguration is always on August 6th, and this year it falls on a Sunday. But there's another Sunday each year when we have these same readings that we have today. We call it Transfiguration Sunday. It's always the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the great 100 days of Lent and Easter. The experience of the Transfiguration of Jesus the Christ is what this feast commemorates. The experience described in the Gospel from Luke we've just heard. After a lot of preaching and teaching and healing, Jesus goes away from all that crucial and important work. He goes up a mountain and he takes Peter, James, and John with him. This story, this experience, this account has been preached and interpreted in many ways across the centuries. Sometimes the focus has been devotional. Peter, James, and John are with Jesus on retreat. As Jesus is praying, his face changes and his garments become dazzling white. They see Moses and Elijah. They want to stay there. They are terrified as they enter this cloud that comes down. They hear the voice of God from heaven when the cloud clears. They see Jesus only. If you've heard a devotional message on this text, that's often what's pulled out. When everything else went away, they looked up, they saw Jesus only, only Jesus. And if we will give our attention only to Jesus, everything will be great. I do commend devotionally spending time in prayer, in the presence of Jesus. Absolutely. But we all know, even if we spend a lot of time in prayer, even as we focus upon the presence, the reality, the transforming power of Jesus the Christ, everything is not quite all right, is it? Sometimes this text is approached geographically. Some biblical scholars have tried to identify which particular mountain in the region of Galilee was the location for the Transfiguration. If you visit the Galilee region, your guide or teacher may tell you, usually as your bus is passing by, and here is the traditional Mount of Transfiguration. You don't usually get to climb it, but you get to see it. Somebody will point it out as you go by, but nobody knows which mountain it was. And that seems to be the point. If the main thing about the Transfiguration was its geographic location, surely the name of that mountain would be recorded somewhere, either in Matthew, Mark, or Luke's accounts of the Transfiguration, or in the second letter of Peter, where he's talking about that very experience, as we just heard. Sometimes this text is approached, shall we say, organizationally. Peter, as usual, impetuous Peter, the satiric norm of the disciples and apostles, says, "This is so awesome, Jesus. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let's just stay here. I love it. It's so great here on this mountain." But the problem is if our Christianity, our walk with Christ Jesus, only keeps us up on a mountaintop trying to sustain that forever, we miss the point of the gospel, which is after that transformational experience, after receiving that joy and that gift, extend ourselves in a life of greater service, That's the point of that empowering, not to just stay on the mountain. On that high mountain, it's true that something happens. Actually, a bunch of things happen. And more in the last few years, what draws my focus, my attention in this text is an approach that I think maybe I could say is more experiential. Not just what happened to Jesus, but on account of what happened to all of them in that situation. What does that mean for me and how I live in this world right now? In the company of Jesus on the mountain, Peter, James, and John are away from other distractions. They are, as today's collect says, delivered from the disquietude of this world. Isn't that a great phrase? Delivered from the disquietude of this world. They experience both terror and awe, and they see for themselves how Jesus is a trans figure. On that high mountain, Peter, James, and John see Jesus' face shining as Moses' face had shined. They see his clothing dazzling white, and they see him between Moses and Elijah. I talked about this on Transfiguration Sunday before we began our journey of Lent and Easter. This is the trans part of the Transfiguration. Trans as the English prefix meaning across, beyond, or through. Only Jesus the Christ is able perfectly to hold in tension Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, the rules and regulations, and the compassionate activity needed beyond the rules and regulations on occasion. Moses and Elijah. In this way, between, across, beyond, and through both Moses and Elijah, getting rid of neither, our Savior is a trans Savior. And as we seek to emulate Jesus, to grow up into the full measure of Christ, we seek to live robustly in these creative tensions represented by Moses and Elijah. We seek to live across, beyond, and through the law and the prophets. This way of love inaugurated by Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And especially in this moment when trans people are under attack, when the single demographic with the highest murder rate perpetrated against them is trans women of color in our country. We do well to think about what all these meanings of trans are and might be for us. Only Jesus can maintain and live in perfectly this tension between Moses and Elijah. But our calling as we follow him is to understand more and more how we can integrate both of those as well. Only Jesus can do it perfectly, for sure. Today's collect affirms that we who follow Jesus, who have put our faith and trust in him, we have been delivered from the disquietude of this world. We can still be easily distracted from the reality of that deliverance. We can still be sucked in by the disquietude of this world. But more and more, as we continue to grow up into the full measure of Christ, increasingly in Christian maturity, we can live less and less anxiously and less distractedly. We can model for and give to the disquiet world something different. And God knows there's plenty of disquietude all around. The Feast of the Transfiguration is always on August 6th, and August 6th is also Hiroshima Day, the anniversary of the day the first atomic bomb was utilized in war. Today's the 78th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima. Having lived there for 5 years, it's quite a poignant day for me. Wednesday will be the 78th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Nagasaki. These are facts of history. And regardless of our opinions on the use of those nuclear weapons or any others, it seems undeniable that the use of those weapons ushered in a new age. Not only a new age of warfare, but also a new age of anxiety. The nuclear age has been, these last 78 years, one of increased disquietude for everyone. If you haven't pondered how complex all those decisions around the use of those weapons was and is, you might like to see the current film Oppenheimer. Gives you a lot to think about. Given all that, this increased disquietude, how then should we live as followers of Jesus the Christ? I suggest to you today that we should increase our awareness of both the disquietude of the world around us and of our deliverance from it. That is, we should not pretend that everything is fine for everyone everywhere. Rather, we should acknowledge the pervasiveness of anxiety and struggle, including here in our own community, and continually be asking God, continually be discerning how we as individuals and how we as a congregation are able to make a contribution, to make a difference, to reduce the gaps between how things are and how they should be. Sometimes the enormity of this world's disquietude makes us despair. It's easy to forget who and whose we are in the midst of so much anxiety, so many difficulties, complexities, and struggles. Sometimes we succumb to overwhelm. Sometimes it is all too much. And following Jesus as our model in everything, as always, we need to stop and rest, recoup, refocus, recharge, pull away, take time apart, but then not stay on the mountain, but go down from it and re-engage with this world. Go back down the mountain in the midst of everything and everyone, and do what? Extend the practice of the presence of God in Christ Jesus amidst the disquietude of this world. Model something different. Live a different way. What does that look like? Lots of different things. I don't know what each of you as individuals are doing, and that's just as well. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But I do know some of the things we are doing together as little God squads around the place. Partnerships in the community, the laundry ministry, Loads of Love, distribution of communion and healing prayer at Ponciana Gardens, upcoming, providing a safe place for queer youth in our community to hang together after school. And yesterday, a Unity in the Community event, the second annual school supplies giveaway. Last year, the first year, there were 5 St. Paul's people Yesterday, in the second year, there were 11 St. Paul's people there distributing. It must have been at least 3 to 3.5, if not 4 times as many things donated by St. Paul's this year as last year. And we gave it away and gave it away and gave it away until there was just a few things left in one box, which Georgette, who's the coordinator of the event and who works at the high school, is taking to distribute to anybody there who might need them. What is on your heart to do and be about? That's a once a year event, but surely needs of children and youth in our community and their parents exist every day of the year. I don't have all the answers. I'm asking you, as I've been asking you for 2 years, as something comes to you and the Spirit stirs up something in your heart and you realize that you think about it pretty often, just be brave and share it with others. Because chances are, if the Holy Spirit is laying something on your heart, somebody else, maybe somebody you don't even know yet in the congregation, is probably having similar inspiration. There aren't that many of us, and we can't do everything, but there are enough of us to do things that do make a difference. We already are, and what else might we be called? The letter of Peter says, all this stuff I've written to you and I'm writing to you, these are not cleverly devised myths. This is, he says, my real experience, my account of the experience that I and John and James had with Jesus on that mountain. And I'm writing it all down so that when you forget, you can come back and read it again. So come back and read it again and be reminded only Jesus can live perfectly that tension between Moses and Elijah, between law and prophets, between rules and regulations and compassionate activity beyond them. Only Jesus can do it perfectly, but those of us who claim to follow him are called to follow his example in that as well. God help us live as people who know ours is a trans Savior in whose steps we are called and empowered to follow. Amen.